level. Reel 6.
From the director of Manning, where I did 3 years, I was sent to the staff of the CMC Plymouth as a senior RAN officer. And this was the most lovely appointment in a very beautiful area, and was very kindly and supportive commander-in-chief and staff. And the Wrens again had completely separate quarters. We had the establishment up at St Bude, which had been, I think, a boys' training establishment, and the training of boys had stopped. And the Wren officers had the captain's house that was there, and I had a nice flat in this house. And I had an office at Mount Wise, where the CMC had its staff. And I lunched in the Naval Officers' Mess there. But otherwise, we were quite separate. And my job was to visit the naval establishments which had Wrens, and there were about 9 altogether, a lot of them just in the area, but also over in Sea Eagle in Londonderry, and in South Wales, where the radar plot Wrens were involved in the training, navigational training in South Wales. I also was asked, when I went to these establishments, apart from doing rounds and seeing that all was well and that the work was going well, I did overseas boards for runs through the categories that could go overseas, and also selection boards for promotion to officer if they had runs. Because the large number, the largest number of our officers did come from the ranks and not from special entry. And also, the CNC asked me to arrange hit flag days that had to be done by his staff and fundraising. And there was an Admiral Superintendent's wife who was a tremendous organiser of the summer fete and other things. So I learnt a lot under her guidance too, which stood me instead of further appointments.
Were the Wrens at this time taking on different sorts of tasks with the development of technology? Now, I was wondering, going into the 1950s, were they doing rather more demanding?
I don't think it had developed a great deal at that time. The two categories I recall, which perhaps would come under that heading, are the radar plots, who were greatly valued in the Navy, and we were able to recruit women with the right qualifications, and I think the men found that more difficult. And when I went to places like HMS Harrier, where the navigational training was done, the Wrens played a very big part in the team that trained the naval officers. And they enjoyed it. They had to be very much on the ball and quick. But also, the officer who was in charge of it was very appreciative of the skills. And of course, at HMS Guard, they were important. The others were the range assessors. There was no similar job in the Navy, and it was these girls had to be very good at maths, and they were put out wherever naval bombing or targets were involved, and they sat in different areas and assessed the hips, and then gave reports afterwards on the success of the attack. I saw quite a lot of that up in Lossina later on. Of course, this was in Siligo, this was pre the trouble times, and the Lorenz enjoyed being out there and were able to go across. There was one quite interesting time we went across the border for the regatta, and they were loaned a minesweeper. And the Irish from Donegal came on board and ran the regatta from the frigate, from the minesweeper, which I don't think would have happened today. Did have up in Seagull, there was a sad case of a wren who had a baby born prematurely, and she was not married, and whether it had died or not, that she disposed of it. And wren headquarters wanted her discharged on pregnancy, but I said no, I thought maybe it wasn't no longer applicable, but we should stand, have her there until the trial was over. And she was, she was not charged, you know, she was exonerated, and she did stay on in the end. I think on the whole we were extremely fortunate in that we did not have a great many pregnancies. Extremely happy years summer. I went up to the staff of Cargill Supply and Training and Cargill Reserve Airport, and I was based at Arbroath. The superintendent Renz was at Leon Solent. Very sadly, this was only a 7-month appointment as a cut in establishments. Removed this job. But while I was there, I visited the 6 or 7 naval air stations, holding overseas boards, inspecting kits was one of the things. The Navy always had kit inspections, so we did too, the Rennes quarters. And I travelled mostly by Tipper, which was a biplane. It was rather like a bus. It did a routine visits to naval air stations, and occasionally I flew in a Gannet.
What job would the Wrens have been doing on the air stations? Would that have been the radar?
No, they were doing a great variety of jobs. Cook steward stores, air stores, radar plot, communications, and they worked in the control tower, some of them, and cooks and stewards, and a great mixture of jobs, and they had 1 or 2 MT drivers too. It was during this time. During this time, Wren headquarters issued an instruction that all unit officers, the first officers, were to be prepared to go and recruit and give recruiting talks in the schools in their locality. And I felt there was a need for training before they were asked to do this. And the Naval Air Command had an establishment, HMS Black Cat, where they did instructional technique courses. So I went as a guinea pig on a course with three naval officers, a pilot, an engineer, and another, and did a week's course. And then after that, they organized a special course in which the Ren officers all went from the air station and practiced doing talks for recruiting in different types of schools. And the captain of that establishment was then Frank Twist, who was later Second Sea Lord and Black Rod. And he was very supportive in doing this. And Director Renz wanted me to go to recruiting when that job, but I managed to persuade him while the superintendent that I wouldn't be a good recruiting officer. And so I went to HMS Victory on the staff of CNC Portsmouth as the senior Ren officer. We had a lot of Rens in Portsmouth, and most of the establishments were in or near, like HMS Mercury, the signal establishment, and the Gunnery School had quite a lot of Rens, and Collingwood was electrical, and the Submariners across the way at Dolphin. And there I was again very much part of the airborne staff, and attended the daily staff meetings held by the chief of staff. And there still, we had our own Ren officers' mess and quarters in the barracks. I think they had been army barracks in the old days. So it was a quite big setup there. And here there was a development which I think was quite a marked one. The Admiral Pappard, who was the Admiral S on CNC staff, was very supportive of Rens, and he wanted the Rens of HMS Vernon to stay and have lunch so that they didn't have to walk back to Rens quarters for their lunch. And he said, "What did I think about it?" So I asked for 24 hours to sort of mull it over. The main problem was the victualling allowance, because each, well, in the naval establishments, there was an allocation of money for each meal, and three meals a day, and so much. And the main allocation was for lunch, the bigger proportion of the money. And this is what the people running the meals had to keep the budget. And so, if the Rens quarters, which were only dealing with a smaller number than the men's establishment, it would have affected them if they'd lost that money. And so, Admiral Pappard managed to get round that somehow, and the Rens did stay in the mess for now. That first of all, they had their own little section, but I think gradually, as they got used to it, and men got used to it, they weren't always stuck in that part. And at this time, HMS Mercury was rebuilding their mess for the men and the Rens, which they'd all been. And it was agreed that there would be one mess for all, and they would have all the Rens, including the Ren trainees, the signals rating for the training at Mercury, would all eat. But they would have their own portion where the separate tables were set aside. Again, I don't know how long that went on for. When this was first looted, I had to say to Admiral Papa that if he'd be patient and wait 2 months, we were going to have a new director Rens. who I knew would accept this, where the one that the same bar would not have liked it. I mean, there were both sides to this. Some of the ends wanted to keep quite separate, and some were happier about mixing. But that the new mess at Mercury did work very well when it was finally built. I had my first enlightenment about the press when I was at Portsmouth. If you remember, the early premium bonds were drawn in some state, and in the first year, and on 1 month they were drawn on board our only battleship, which was in Portsmouth, HMS Vanguard. And I was asked if the Wrens could go and hold up the numbers. And the first officer in the barracks found 9 or 10 or whatever the number of the volunteers were. And we went on board and we all went and attended this ceremony, and everybody seemed very happy. So the next day I was rather surprised to have a phone call from the Sunday Victoria for press camp, asking me if saying we'd have a letter of complaint from the Wrens, and they'd have to spend too much time rehearsing and all this sort of thing. Could he come and see me? So I said yes, he could come and see me next day. And I was a bit concerned because I was very innocent about the press, but I found out that the Wrens had only been on for one rehearsal the night before. And they'd been entertained afterwards in the chief's mess and had a very nice party. And they were entertained after the actual occasion. And I went, happened to go to a cocktail party that night. And therefore, secretary said, oh, well, don't worry, he hasn't had a letter at all. Just let him talk about it. And then, so he, this young man came in, and he said, oh yeah, they've had a lot of complaints, and so I let him go on for a bit, and then I said, well, you haven't had a letter, have you? And he said, no, I haven't. And what's more, I spent the night before the door going around Portsmouth trying to find Wrens that were unhappy. And he'd been to any place. I mean, we had at least 1,000 Wrens in Portsmouth itself. So I can only think my guardian angel was fluttering. There must have been somebody who was unhappy, but he didn't find him. And then he had the nerve to say to me, but you would tell me if any of the Wrens got into trouble. And I said, well, they're not under the Discipline Act. If they get into the sort of trouble you're hoping for, you can go to the open court and sit down and write your plea. So that took him back a little bit. And I said a few more things to him, but that really was a big eye-opener to me. And really very sad, because he was a young man. I had to do quite a lot of flag days and fundraising, and we had a great sale of dolls for the Red Cross, and I was asked to, by the Admiral, to organise something for the refugees. We all had to make subscriptions to the different establishments. And they said, well, I do a coffee morning. I said, no, no coffee morning. I'll do a rummage sale. And we had a wonderful rummage sale, and everybody was most helpful, including the owner of the big laundry, who came and sat on the committee, a lady, and lent us a van to collect all the rummage from the naval station. And we took the jewel hall and had a very successful dinner for that. It was much more fun than a coffee morning. at this time, all the chief officers had to be take responsibility for a sport, and I was given badminton, so I had to see that they got training and the turn the inter-service and help support. And we took part in all the parades and the armistice parades on South Sea Common.
Did you find within Portsmouth that the Navy and the town came together quite a lot?
Oh, yes. And of course, again in Plymouth, the Lord Mayor, during the Cornish Riviera, was a tremendous supporter of the Navy. And he and the CNC got on absolutely like bubbles. It was very touching. Yes, I had great. Any of these things one had to organise. In fact, with these sales and the local stores, when we had a sale of dolls, the big store gave us lots of dolls from last year, and anything we needed to display them, and they came and gave us advice. And, yes, we did get great support in the town. Just one thing we might be interested in, we didn't have a lot of coloured people in the services, but I think the Navy had more and seemed to cope without any problems. And we did have some Wrens. We did have a Wren officer who was more of the Indian colouring. Her mother was white, and I think her father had been a judge. He was no longer alive. And she was a very extroverted and talented second officer in charge of the Wrens at HMS Collingwood when I was there. The director wanted to replace her by a first officer. She hadn't been there long enough, and she also had the qualities and the recommendations to be a first officer. So the commander-in-chief supported, and she wasn't promoted, and she was made a first officer. She was the sort of person, when you went round the unit, the Wrens talked to you in a straightforward and natural manner, and they took part in everything that was going on in the establishment, like the theatre and the cooks and stewards used to go sailing, and she got them doing everything that was available, and you knew that everything was going well in that establishment. So I dare say that she became
Well, was any special attempt made to bring in ethnic minorities into the venues?
I think it was entirely on their qualifications. I mean, we were very lucky in the Wrens, including during the war. Our numbers never had to be quite as high because of the seagoing factor. We never had to have conscripts, so it was always with our smaller numbers. Well, I think there might have been one lot of conscripts, but it wasn't. We were very, very lucky in that we could keep our standard up in that way.
Did you consider, you know, the Wrens to be of a different standard from the other women's forces, to be better?
I suppose we did in a way, and I think we used to be told so sometimes. And of course, we always thought that navy blue was much more becoming and better for the fuller figure. After Portsmouth, to the Royal Naval College, Greenwich, to run the officers' training course, of which there were three a year, and each course consisted of 2 months of cadets, and then there was the promotion board, and then they had a month as third officers, with a passing out parade, which the towns all came to. And the college staff did a lot of the lectures about naval history and other matters, and we did the Wren's regulation and history. Director Wren just came down and lecture. And I also had the last lecture as a light-hearted one on wines by the Professor Bullock, who was a naval historian but also in charge of the wine cellars at Greenwich. And the main thing, we had daily services in a chapel on Sunday, and the Wren cadets were all expected to be part of the choir, whether they could sing or not. And they also had to take part in reading lessons, which was they were training before. And they took all their meals in the painted hall, which was a very great help and a wonderful experience. I never got tired of having even breakfast in painted hall. They took part in mess dinner. And the only thing we had to be careful, we always had to, on the night of mess dinners, we had to lock the Wren's laundry room, because otherwise we would find undergarments strung up between the college towers. There was in my lecture, one of the ones was on discharge on pregnancy. How we sacrificed in those days, of course, there were a lot of homes for the unmarried mothers in all areas, and how the men should be cared for. I suddenly realised in the middle of this lecture there was a sort of an electric atmosphere, which I didn't quite understand at the time, but shortly afterwards, the third officer, newly promoted, came and said that she was pregnant, and this was the result of excitement of being told she could go to Greenwich before she even got to Greenwich. I was able to, my thoughts about this was the need to care for the expectant mother and to get her looked after as well as possible, and never to be critical. I mean, I felt that was not our job. And I did find and take her to have a meeting with a local home with the most excellent lady in charge, and in the end she didn't have to go there because her parents, who she thought would not want her anything to do with her, in fact did, and she went home and was cared for at home.